Sick and tired of hearing things from uptight, short-sighted, narrow-minded hypocrites. All I want is the truth. Just give me some truth. I've had enough of reading things by neurotic, psychotic, pig-headed politicians. All I want is the truth. Just give me some truth.
Hello, listeners, and welcome to this edition of 9/11 Wake Up Call. I'm Cheryl. The focus today will be insider trading prior to and on the day of 9/11. To get us started, here's a clip from ABC News just after 9/11.
Federal officials have begun a major investigation into whether someone or many people benefited financially from the evil done to the country last Tuesday. Not long before the attacks occurred, there were some financial transactions in the stock market that may indicate knowledge of the attack before it began. ABC's Antonio Mora is here. If they ever get to the bottom of it, it will be astonishing.
Astonishing, no question, Peter. What many Wall Street analysts believe is that the terrorists made bets that a number of stocks would see their prices fall. They did so by buying what are called puts. If you bet right, the rewards can be huge. The risks are also huge, unless, of course, you know something bad is going to happen to the company you're betting against.
This could very well be insider trading at the worst, most horrific, most evil use you've ever seen in your entire life.
One example, United Airlines. The Thursday before the attack, more than 2,000 contracts betting that the stock would go down were purchased, 90 times more in one day than in 3 weeks. When the markets reopened, United's stock dropped. The price of the contracts soared, and someone may have made a lot of money fast.
$180,000 turns into $2.4 million when that plane hits the World Trade Center.
It's almost the same story with American Airlines.
That's a five-fold increase in the value of what was a $337,000 trade on Monday.
All of a sudden becomes what?
$1.8 million.
And there's much more, including an extraordinarily high number of bets against Morgan Stanley and Marsh & McLennan, two of the World Trade Center's biggest tenants.
Could this be a coincidence?
This would be one of the most extraordinary coincidences in the history of mankind if it was a coincidence.
It is absolutely unprecedented to see cases of insider trading covering the entire world, from Japan to the United States and North America to Europe.
ABC News has now learned that the Chicago Board of Options Exchange launched their investigation into the unusual trading last week. That may have given them enough time to stop anyone from profiting from death here in the U.S. It may also give investigators, Peter, a hot trail that might lead them to the terrorists.
Thanks very much. As a reminder of the complications here, though, the Secretary of the Treasury said today of this investigation, you've got to go through 10 veils before you get to the real source.
Yep.
And now we're going to hear from Lars Schaal, a financial journalist from Germany who has been investigating the insider trading surrounding 9/11.
Hello, my name is Lars Schaal. I'm a financial journalist from Germany who has done some research related to the topic of alleged insider trading around 9/11. In the weeks after the attacks, mainstream media outlets reported that some people could have benefited from those terror attacks via speculative trades on the financial markets. In this video, I will try to inform you a bit about this topic. In order to do so, we watch first an interview that the financial journalist Max Kaiser conducted with me for Russia Today. In the past, Max has been himself a stock and option trader on Wall Street in New York City. He conducted with me this interview because he was interested in my research that I have written for Asia Times Online, which you can find under the headline 9/11 Insider Trading, The Facts Laid Bare. Let's watch.
Time now to go to Germany and speak with independent journalist Lars Schaal. Lars, welcome to the Kaiser Report.
Hi, Max.
Okay, Lars Schaal, you've just published an investigation into insider trading in relation to the attacks of 9/11. First, tell us about the original mainstream media reports and what had they said at the time about the suspicious trading.
Well, there were a lot of reports in Barron's, in the Wall Street Journal, and other publications which said that insiders of the terror attacks could have profited from those terror attacks via speculative trades, put options, call options, and such things. But then in October, November, December, it went on, but then was abruptly over with this reporting.
So how much had the put option volume increased prior to the attacks, and in what shares specifically?
Yeah, sometimes sixfold. For example, related to Raytheon, the producer of Tomahawk and Patriot missiles that were used then in the War on Terror. But also, this were call options. And then there were also put options on banks that were placed in the WTC, and also reinsurers like Munich Re and Swiss Re, but also AXA. And yeah, these were put options, basically, where you bet that a stock price will drop.
Yes, in the case of the airline stocks, the put options, the volume and the prices, it appeared as though they were reflecting blown-up airlines before there were any blown-up airlines. It reminded me at the time of what we saw happen with Morton Thiokol after the Space Challenger disaster. Those options traded spectacularly based on that explosion. Here we saw it happen before the explosion. Now, in the 9/11 Commission report also states that there was what looked like suspicious trading, but that on closer inspection, they said it was a reputable firm that had placed these airline put option trades. Tell us about this reputable firm, Alex Brown.
Yeah, it was Alex Brown, which is a subsidiary of Deutsche Bank. And they said that this is completely harmless. But what is really interesting here is that the executive director of the CIA at the time of the 9/11 attacks came directly from Alex Brown. And another interesting thing is that the CEO of Alex Brown, on the time of September 11th, on the next day he resigned from his post, even though he had still a contract for 3 years at Alex Brown. So this is a little bit strange, isn't it?
Well, it demonstrates a direct pipeline of information between the CIA, Alex Brown, where these put options are. And I believe after the events, something like $5 million of profits were never claimed, correct?
Yeah, there are different numbers out, but we can say something in between $2 million and $5 million, yes. But Max, maybe I should mention one thing, that there are actually three scientific papers about this stuff. One came from the University of Zurich. Mark Chesney is the leading professor there. It's called Detecting Informed Trading in the Option Markets. And everyone who wants to question this topic should read this.
Okay, well, let's talk about Deutsche Bank, of course, is the bank that ended up buying Alex Brown. What has been their response as part of this investigation, Lars?
Yeah, it's the Deutsche Bundesbank, the central bank of Germany, because the head back then in 2001, Ernst Wölteke, said that informed trading occurred in the international markets. And I questioned or I forwarded a request to the Deutsche Bundesbank, but they stonewalled. They were only available for me for an oral information. And that was basically that they said, well, the board of the Deutsche Bundesbank was informed on this stuff via charts and analysis from their own house, but they made no real own analysis. And the same applied to other places where I went. They all did not want to talk with me about this topic, like, for example, the Deutsche Börse or Eurex, which is the futures market here in Germany, and the Swiss futures markets. They don't want to talk about, for example, the results of the scientific paper of Professor Mark Chesney.
All right. Well, presumably there are insiders who would come forward if the government offered some kind of protection or interest in finding out more about this advanced knowledge insider trading around the events of 9/11. Those insiders who may have spoken directly with people involved in these trades would feel more comfortable speaking on the record if the government expressed some interest. Without that, however, certain insiders, I'm sure, will continue to stay behind the scenes. The inside information story in the U.S., of course, Congress is allowed to trade on inside information. So potentially Budgie Krongard, who you mentioned, and other Congress people and insiders in the intelligence industry potentially profiting from trading on these puts, and many of the millions of dollars were never collected at Alex Brown Deutsche Bank from the profiteering that went on from this. It's an inside information is legal. So maybe they should take more pride in their prowess as traders and step forward and let people know that they're such good traders. If they're going to have insider trading, Lars, why can't people be more braggadocio about their success trading on inside information? Your thoughts?
Well, I think the inconvenient stuff here is that the trade was not organized in an Afghan cave. And this is basically the official story, that the terror attacks came from somewhere in the Orient and were not fabricated on home turf in the USA itself.
Right. Yeah, it's hard to determine exactly where the planning for the attacks came from, but clearly there was enough insider information inside the U.S. ahead of the attacks to, at the very least, they could have prevented the attacks. Clearly, somebody in Washington felt it was in their interest to profit from the attacks. They put that ahead of the interest of those who suffered catastrophic loss during the attacks. And that has become kind of the story of the American policy going forward, isn't it? The bankers, it's a great microcosm of what's happened since then. The bankers put their interest and their profits ahead of people. It doesn't matter if people die in the U.S. or die overseas. Their profits come first. Your thoughts, Lars?
Well, the funny thing is you talk a lot about financial terrorists, and here we have terror traders, period.
Oh, absolutely. And I think this has become the de facto modus operandi of the U.S. All right. Well, certainly it's a story that is worth keeping an eye on.
Now that you have some idea about the 9/11 insider trading topic, I will make you more familiar with it via an interview that I have conducted with Kevin Ryan. Kevin Ryan is the co-editor of 9/11 Truth Studies and a board member of Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth. Kevin Ryan has written a long article on this topic about the 9/11 insider trading. Let's watch. Kevin Ryan, you have examined the insider trading or informed trading issue related to 9/11. How did you come to examine this?
Well, I've been studying the events of September 11, 2001 for almost 9 years. For the last 6 years, I've been co-editor of the Journal of 9/11 Studies. And we cover a lot of different topics related to the attacks of 9/11. And I became interested in this issue primarily through reviewing research done at a website called 911research.com. And they had provided a good deal of information about the 9/11 Commission and how it didn't address the issues raised by the Securities and Exchange Commission very well. So, you know, the 9/11 Commission report claims that the FBI did exhaustive investigations into the issue of 9/11 insider trading. And I began to look into it and found that the investigations by the FBI were anything but exhaustive. In fact, they did not even interview the people who were suspected of 9/11 insider trading. I came across this document that had been released, a memorandum for the record of the 9/11 Commission. It was prepared by a staff member of the 9/11 Commission. His name is Douglas Greenberg. And he reviewed simply the FBI's meetings on their communications related to this. And this document identified a couple of companies that were flagged by the SEC, the Securities and Exchange Commission. And one of them, this was September 21st, just 10 days after the attacks. One of these companies that was flagged was called Stratesec. And this is a very interesting company because it's a security company that had contracts for the World Trade Center and Dulles Airport, where one of the planes took off on 9/11, as well as United Airlines, which owned two of the other three planes. So this security company, Stratesec, was a very central player in the events of 9/11, you could say, because they ran security for these different areas in the years leading up to 9/11. So for them, this company stock to be flagged by the SEC was very compelling. And when I looked at this document prepared by the 9/11 Commission, which wasn't released until 2007, I noticed that the names had been redacted of the stock traders, but I could make out who they were. In particular, one of them was a director of the company, Stratesec. He was also a director of a company in Oklahoma, an aviation company. He was also a director of a Washington, D.C.-based financial organization. With just that information, you could tell very clearly that this man was Wirt Dexter Walker. He was the chief executive officer of Stratesec and also a director there. His wife, Sally Walker, was also named in the flagging by the SEC. So I began looking into that.
Yeah, and Strategic, even though they failed miserably on 9/11, their stock gained from the attacks because the security companies, their stock was on high demand.
Yeah, that's interesting because in the year 2000, Strategic was selling off stock, trying to raise money because they had several years of not doing very well. Yet in the one trading day in the United States between September 11th and when the markets reopened on September 17th, I believe it was, the stock of Strategic doubled. The value of the stock doubled. So Warwick Walker and his wife doubled their money to the tune of about $50,000. Not a great deal of money, but enough for the SEC to have flagged that as suspicious trade. And as I said, the FBI investigation was very poor. It did not even interview these people. And frankly, it didn't interview any of the people. There were several companies and other individuals identified. They didn't interview any of those people. But with Wirt Walker, they just said something to the effect that he had no known ties to terrorism. And this is one of the most striking aspects of the 9/11 Commission and FBI failure to investigate. Yeah, the 9/11 Commission basically said that, yes, there does appear to have been insider trading, but because none of it can be easily linked to Al-Qaeda or Osama bin Laden, it could not have been insider trading.
But if it occurred, for example, at Alex Brown, and there is a loose, at least loose, connection to the CIA, isn't that a connection enough to Al-Qaeda between the CIA and Al-Qaeda?
I would think so, primarily because of the history of Al-Qaeda going back to the Afghanistan war with the Russians and how the CIA had actually funded the Mujahideen and the precursor to Al-Qaeda. So yes, you would think that would be a connection, but also Wirt Dexter Walker at Strategic hired several people from a company called the Carlyle Group. And the Carlyle Group had bin Laden family members as investors. Also, Wirt Walker's fellow director, James Abrahamson, was a close business associate of a man named Mansoor Ijaz, a Pakistani businessman. And Mansoor Ijaz claimed to be able to contact Osama bin Laden on multiple occasions. So there does seem to be some circumstantial evidence indicating that these people were connected to Al-Qaeda, at least to the point where we should investigate.
And isn't it true that also some members of the bin Laden family were actually in Washington at a gathering of the Carlyle Group on 9/11?
That's true. The Carlyle Group had a meeting at the Ritz-Carlton Hotel in Washington on September 11th, and present there were former President George H.W. Bush, James Baker, and the brother of Osama bin Laden. I believe his name was Salem. I can't recall his exact name. But they were there, investors from the bin Laden family, meeting with Carlyle Group representatives in Washington on September 11th.
You also are calling for an international investigation of the insider trading issue. Why so? And do you believe it will be successful?
Well, for two reasons. When I first began investigating this issue, I learned that a dozen separate governments had begun preliminary investigations into 9/11 insider trading. None of those resulted in any kind of thorough questioning of anyone who might have been suspected. None of them resulted in indictments. And so I think that there is cause to believe that there was internationally affected insider trading around 9/11. And of course, the more important reason is that the entire world has been seriously impacted by the war on terror, which has its origin as the 9/11 attacks.
Do you think it is a systemic, it is a symptom here that there were apparently call options on Raytheon that were sixfold compared to the days before?
Yes, there are a number of companies that have been shown to have had put options or call options placed on them centering around the events of 9/11. So Raytheon was one of the companies that was located in the World Trade Center towers, but also had a number of employees die on Flight 77, the plane that was said to hit the Pentagon. But There have been previous research articles that have shown that some of the biggest put option occurrences occurred with companies that were in the towers. For example, Marsh & McLennan was a big company in the towers. Citigroup was a company related to Solomon Smith Barney, which occupied a good deal of Building 7. And then there were the reinsurance companies, the Swiss Re and the...
Also Munich Re.
Munich Re as well, yes. So all these put options or call options are very intriguing. There was more to it than that, of course. And the financial crimes that we refer to as insider trading include bond trades as well. The German central bank leader said that it may have also included commodities like gold and oil. And in addition to this, there was the very suspicious trading done within the buildings, from computers at least, within the World Trade Center towers, credit card transactions, and a very high level of credit card transactions. And this has been revealed through the recovery of hard disks from computers at Ground Zero. There is a German company named Convar that had recovered a good deal of these hard drives and referred to what they called dirty doomsday dealings as a result of having recovered the data and analyzed it. So the financial crimes we're talking about, the put option, the airlines and the companies that occupied the buildings, also bond trades, treasury bill trades, credit card transactions done that morning in those buildings. It's very broad and very compelling information that I believe requires an international thorough investigation.
What is the significance of the story related to foreknowledge?
A lot of people have questions about all aspects of the 9/11 attacks. And foreknowledge indicates that someone other than these 19 young men who were largely powerless men, other than being directed by Osama bin Laden and perhaps Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, how could people know in advance in the financial markets? Did they happen to know these young men, or were there others involved who we've not been made aware of? Those are the kinds of questions that foreknowledge would bring about. Certainly, people need to know exactly who the people who committed the crimes of 9/11 are. Otherwise, not only we continue to have terrorism, we continue to see people profiting off of terrorism through insider trades, and our communities, our families are at danger if that is the case.
And again, that was German financial journalist Lars Schaal interviewing Kevin Ryan, who lost his job at Underwriters Laboratories for questioning 9/11. He's been researching 9/11 for probably 10 years now and has recently been focusing on the insider trading. According to Webster Tarpley in his book 9/11 Synthetic Terror, Made in USA, he says that the 9/11 Commission was eager to liquidate the entire matter in a few mendacious lines. And here he quotes directly from the 9/11 Commission report, saying, "Highly publicized allegations of insider trading in advance of 9/11 generally rest on reports of unusual pre-9/11 trading activity in companies whose stock plummeted after the 9/11 attacks. Some unusual trading did in fact occur, but each such trade proved to have an innocuous explanation. For example, the volume of put options, investments that pay off only when a stock drops in price, surged in the parent companies of United Airlines on September 6th and American Airlines on September 10th, highly suspicious trading on its face. Yet further investigation has revealed that the trading had no connection with 9/11. So I guess the 9/11 Commission either isn't aware of it or didn't think it was important and related to the insider trading that Deutsche Bank Alec Brown was one of the investment banks used to purchase some of the put options, which also had numerous connections to the CIA through Buzzy Krongard, its chairman until 1998, and the CIA's connections to Al-Qaeda and Osama bin Laden. But they thought it was all innocuous. Webster Tarpley goes on to say, "We must conclude once again that the 9/11 Commission is lying." And this leads me to a quote In Michael Rupert's book, Crossing the Rubicon, at the end of his chapter on 9/11 insider trading, he says, "The CIA is Wall Street. Wall Street is the CIA." Michael Rupert has done some really great research in his book, Crossing the Rubicon, and I would highly recommend reading it if you haven't already done so. He also gave a speech called The CIA, Drugs, Wall Street, and the 9/11 Connection, which I've aired several times over the last 4 years because I think it's something everyone should hear, and maybe more than once. You can access these shows on radioforall.net, and that's the digit 4 in Radio for All. It's a 4-part series. And again, it's called The CIA, Drugs, Wall Street, and the 9/11 Connection. You just heard Kevin Ryan talking about the company Stratasec, or Stratisec, as he pronounces it, and I'm not sure which is correct. But anyway, I think it's worth mentioning that Wirt Walker, who was the director of Stratasec, which was the security company for the World Trade Center's Dulles Airport and United Airlines on 9/11, that Wirt Walker is a distant cousin of George W. Bush, and that Bush's brother Marvin was also on the board of Stratasec. And on a final note today, I want to read you something that Kevin Ryan wrote in a letter to Lars Schall. He wrote, "In late 2005, George Tenet became a director for Visage, which had been flagged by the SEC for 9/11 trading, but never investigated. Visage was led by Roger LaPenta, formerly of Lockheed. 7 months later, in 2006, FBI Director Louis Freeh also joined the board. One might think that when both the CIA director on 9/11 and the FBI director from 1993 to June 2001 joined a company suspected of 9/11 insider trading, we might want to go back and actually investigate the SEC's flagging of that company. But of course, that was not the case." So in conclusion, we know that there was insider trading prior to and during the morning of 9/11 itself around the world. People knew in advance and profited from it. And the government bodies entrusted with investigating the crimes have let the perpetrators off the hook to walk away free with their profits. And now I want to remind you that tomorrow, Thursday, August 13th, 2015, the Progressive Movie Night will be showing a locally produced film called Lyme Disease Exposed. And yes, there is a conspiracy surrounding Lyme disease. So come and watch the film and participate in the lively Q&A with the film producer, Randy Sykes. And again, that's Thursday, August 13th, 2015, at 7 p.m. in the Auerbach Auditorium in Hillier Hall on the campus of the University of Hartford. Please park in Lot B. This concludes this edition of 9/11 Wake Up Call. I'm Cheryl. Thanks for listening.